Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Initiative. My name is Marcy Stern, and today we will be studying Hosea Perek Dalet. In Perek Gimel, once again, Hosea is told to marry a woman of ill repute, although this time the great love of her husband is emphasized. Despite this great love, she commits adultery. Hashem's love for Bnei Israel is compared to this man's love. Hashem gives Hosea instructions on how to rehabilitate this woman, which included her sitting many days apart from him. So too, Bnei Israel will go into a long exile, but they will return via tshuva to Eretz Yisrael, the Mikdash, and Hashem. In the first three prakim of Hosea, the sins mentioned revolve around the quote-unquote snus of Bnei Israel, her leaving Hashem for idolatry or dependence on other nations. In Perek Dalet, that is primarily directed to Aseres Hashvatim, to the 10 tribes. We are told of how many more grievances Hashem had against the 10 tribes and learn about their relationship with their religious leaders, the Nevi'im and the Kohanim. Perek Dalet, Pasuk Aleph, begins with what was missing from the expectation Hashem had for them. Pasuk Aleph begins, Ein emet ve'ein chesed ve'ein dalet da'at Elokim ba'aretz. There was no truth, there was no chesed, there was no kindness, and ein da'at Elokim ba'aretz, there was no knowledge of Hashem in the land. Radak explains, Ein emet means ein oseh emet u'medaber emet. There was no truth, nobody spoke truth, bunch of liars. Ein chesed, well, Radak explains, how do you expect to have chesed, something above and beyond that which is expected, when people aren't even honest with one each other? So, ein emet ve'ein chesed. And then he goes on to say, ein dat Elokim ba'aretz, there was no dat Elokim. We expect that to mean, which is one of the mefarshim, that they didn't search out to understand who Hashem was. But he also says, ein dat Elokim, the knowledge of God, is the doing of mishpat and staka, righteousness and justice. So what we're saying basically here in these few words is no truth, no chesed, no mishpat, and no staka. And the truth is, if there's no truth, we can't expect there to be righteousness and justice. Radak wants to tell us very clearly that really, b'tanai natati lahem et ha'aretz, I gave Eretz Yisrael to the Jewish people under condition. Sheyasu vot staka u'mishpat, that they do righteousness and justice. Uvazeh hatznai lahem, and if they fulfill their side of it, then Hashem says he will be with them, mereshita shana ad akarita shana, he'll be with them constantly. And this is really what he had said to Avram Avinu, in Bereishis, Perek Yud Chet, Ki yedativ laman asher yitzaveh v'gomer, he wanted him to go and command the future generations, la'asot staka u'mishpat. But what are they doing? And so the pasuk goes on, pasuk beis, alo v'chachesh v'ratzoach v'ganov v'na'ov. What are they doing? They're swearing falsely, they're lying, they're murdering, they're robbing, they're committing znus, immorality. Pasuk finishes up, paratsu, they are breaching standards of what they should be doing. V'damim b'damim naga'u, blood reaches more blood. What does that mean? Hirbu lishpoch dam ad shenagu d'mei harug zeh b'd'mei harug zeh. There was so much murder going on that the blood of one was already flowing by the blood of the other. Hashem is looking for mishpat and staka, chesed and emes in his dealings with Bnei Yisrael, so that the tenai, the condition he made of giving Eretz Yisrael, could continue. Instead, what does he get? Chilul shmo. They're profaning his name with swearing and the oppression of his people, the opposite of chesed. It's sort of also, you should remember in Perek Abeis, that beautiful pasuk, Ve'rastichli b'tzedek b'mishpat u'v'chesed u'v'rachamim. Hashem says ultimately, he will betroth himself to us through our doing of tzedek and mishpat. But that's really not what's happening. The parak goes on with a description of the punishment that they get for this these actions. And in the middle of this description, we get some interesting information. We learn about their attitudes towards their leaders. In Pasuk Dalet, the Pasuk, the Navi says, Ish al yarev, va'al yochach ish, let no one reprimand us or fight with us. Rashi explains that what's going on here is they are quoting he's quoting B'nai Israel and what they say to their Nevi'im. Stay away from us. We don't want to hear what you have to say. They push the Nevi'im away from them, okay? It's sort of very much like Amos, you'll learn, where Amasha actually turns to the Navi Amos that lived in this period of time. And he says to him, Lo tinabe, we don't want you here. Leave. You know, get on the first train out, okay? They are not taking the rebuke seriously, but it's not just that they're not taking the rebuke seriously, okay? They are actually engaging with their leaders to make fun of them and push them away and show that they're meaningless to them. You know, it's sort of like if your child would come home and say that she didn't like something the teacher said, the first thing you're going to say is, okay, you didn't like it. Just keep your mouth shut. Don't be disrespectful. You don't have to say everything. You don't have to respond with chutzpah, right? But here, B'nai Yisrael are beyond that. Their leaders, meaning the Navi who is coming, Rashi says, the Navi Emet, and they are just pouncing on them. And that connects up with the next few words in the Pasuk. Ish al yarev al yochach ish, va'amcha kemerive kohen. The Navi says, your nation is like fighters of the Kohen. The Kohen is the person who's supposed to teach Klal Yisrael. What were they doing? They were fighting with them, literally fighting with him. Okay? The person who's supposed to be helping you, you are fighting. Okay? And others want to say, what does it mean your nation is like the fighters of a Kohen? They are acting like Adas Korach. What did Adas Korach do? Korach came to fight against the Kohuna. He stood up against Moshe, right? He started a whole rebellion. And that's what we're sensing here, okay? The lack of understanding who the leaders were and trying to just literally push them out, okay? So who really is influencing them then? I mean, if we say that Klal Yisrael are good people, we hope, there have to be influencers here, right? We certainly know from influencers in today's world, right? Who are the influencers? And we see it from in the midst of the punishment that's being described later. It says in Pasuk Hey, V'chashalta hayom, he says to B'nai Yisrael, Aseres Hashvatim, you will fail, you will fall. V'chashal gam navi imcha, Laila. And your navi will fall with you also. Who is this navi who will fall also? The navi sheker. These navi sheker are the ones who are going to make you fall. Now, I just want to show you, it's fascinating, that in the next few psukim, psukim vav through tet, there is an unbelievable section that really goes at B'nai Yisrael for their treatment of the Kohanim. Excuse me, Lahefech. It goes after the Kohanim for the way they do not keep their job the way they are supposed to. Okay? Just as the Nevi'i Sheker are influencing the Jewish people against the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, we'll see that the Kohanim at this particular time, and again, remember, this is the Kohanim of Aseres HaShvatim, the Kohanim that lived in Beitel and Dan, that the Kohanim that had set up Bamos and not allowing B'nai Yisrael, the king who doesn't allow B'nai Yisrael to go down to Yerushalayim, okay? And it describes them quite in a ugly way, really. The psukim say, Nidmu ami mibli hada'as, my nation, I'm going to do this according to Mitzudas David, my nation is cut off. Mibli hada'as, they don't know what they're supposed to do. Ki ata hada'as ma'asa, you, the Kohanim who are really supposed to help them. It looks like so many of them at this time, most of them perhaps, all of them, what were they doing? instead of teaching, which is part of what they are supposed to do, the Kohanim. The Pasuk says in Malachi, ki sivsei Kohen yishmeru da'as, ve Torah yivakshu mi pihu. Bnei Israel are supposed to seek out Torah from the Kohen, Malachi says. But they didn't teach. They didn't teach. You turned away, Kohen, from what you were supposed to do. You were disgusted with this idea of teaching the nation. And so Hashem goes on to say, Ver em ascha mikahengli. And so I am disgusted with you. Vatishkach Torah Elokecha, because you have forgotten to teach the Torah to my children. Eshkach banecha, I will have to forget my nation and punish them. Gam ani. Okay? Kerubam ken chatuli. The Kohani multiply and multiply. Kvotam bekalon amir. And I will exchange eventually their honor that is usually due to a Kohen with disgrace. Chatat ami yochelu. Do you understand that all they did was try to wait for Bnei Israel to sin and bring a korban? Not because they wanted to forgive Klal Yisrael, but because they wanted to eat the meat. Ve'el avonam yis'u nafsho. They were yearning for the sins of Bnei Israel so that they would come and get more to eat. V'haya ka'am ka'kohen. And so both of them, the nation and the Kohen, will be punished. U'fakadati alav drachav. I will remember all the sinning that he did. U'mal alav ashivlo. And I will pay him back for all that he has done. The Kohen, not only didn't he serve as a mentor and a teacher and a religious guide, he cheapened the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. He fulfilled the rights of the Kohen by eating the korbanos, but there was no kavana here. It was all for personal gratification. Now, I must add, because I think this is important, Rashi can't abide the idea that the Kohanim could have been so bad. And so he says a very interesting shot. He says, who is it describing here with the Kohanim and they want to eat all the karbanos and that's all they're really doing and they're not teaching? This is really the Neveye Sheker. We mentioned them before, v'chashal gam navi imcha, that the Navi Sheker will fall with you. Na'asu lahem kohanei bamot. They made themselves into Kohanim by the Bamos. Va'ochlim masha hayu ha-Kohanim ru'uyim le'echol. And they ate what the Kohanim would be able to get from the actual sacrifices. They are the Kohanim that are spoken here. And it really does make a lot of sense because we know throughout the Nevi'im Achronim, the horrible place that the Nevi'i Sheker played. And again, interesting how he does this, obviously because he can't believe that the Kohanim could stoop to this this level. Weren't there Nevi'e Emet at this time? Of course there were, and we know there were. And the problem is that these Nevi'e Emes, right, were being thrust upon by so much condemnation of the people because of what the Nevi'e Sheker said, but there were always Nevi'e Emes that they were there. Hashkein v'shaloach, Hashem always sent them. And we have to know that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had the expectations that Bnei Israel could do tshuva, they had within their capability to have tshuva. But we do see the influences that are going on here and how there was good on them, but they pushed it away and they allowed themselves to go according to the Yetzer Hara and what they wanted to do. Why? Because the Nevi'e Sheker gave them the path to do it. A couple of last things to say in the Perek, this Perek Dalid, that I think are well worth mentioning, is that at the end of the Perek, he turns his attentions away from totally Machus Yisrael, Aseres HaShvatim, the 10 tribes, and now he mentions Malchus Yehuda. Now he primarily, Hoshea, was a Navi for Aseres HaShvatim, for the 10 tribes, but there are places here that Yehuda is mentioned. Pasuk Tedvav says, Im zona atal Yisrael, al ye'esham Yehuda. If you, Yehuda, have gone astray, you have acted like a zona, Al Yesham Yehuda, let Yehuda not become guilty also. He turns in his nevuos and he wants to say to Yehuda, don't get involved in this web. V'lo tavo ha-Gilgal, do not go to Gilgal, where they had bamos. V'al ta'alu Beit Avon, do not go to Beitel. That's another name for it. Beitel, where they had one of the agalim that Yerovam had put when he split the nation of into Aseres HaShvatim on its own under him. Do not go. Yehuda, don't come up to Gilgal. Don't go to Beitel. Don't be influenced. Okay? And it's particularly important to mention this because there were times when Yisrael was subjugated, that Yisrael subjugated Yehuda. And so the influence could have been greater. Be careful. Navim say it all many times to Yehuda. And we certainly understand that. We know that if people had COVID, people who had COVID stay in your house for 5 days. The people who didn't have it, we treat differently, right? Stay, wash your hands, get a shot. You want to make sure that you have those that are sick, try to help make them healthy, have the Navim speak to them about what they're doing. But those that are not yet sick or not as sick, stay away. And that's really what he talks about there. One last pasuk that I can't leave out, and that is a very famous pasuk. The pasuk at the end of the parak mentions this. Chabur atzavim Ephraim. Ephraim is attached to atzavim, avodah zarah. It's as if they become one. He's totally attached to them. Hanachlo, leave it be, let it be. And it's a hard pasuk. If Aseres HaShvatim are really so connected to Avodah Zarah, how can you just see let it be? So Rashi says that what we mean here is Hashem saying to the Navi, let it go for now. They are so bad, stop for now. It's enough. They're just too much. And we know when a person says to, you know, when you say to your kids, I'm not going to talk to you anymore. Enough is enough. You know that the mother is going to come back again. And so will the Navi come back. But it's just a way of saying how bad the situation has come. Let it be. It's nothing more we can do about it. Rabbi Lezer Mibalgetzi says something very nice. He says, who is the low? Ephraim is so attached to Avodah Zarah. Hanach lo, lo Yehuda. Don't seek to influence Yehuda. Leave Yehuda out of this. Don't leave your brothers out of this. Worry about yourselves. We got two different entities here. Okay? The Mari Cross says, leave Ephraim alone to do as he likes. And this is sad. He says, there's part of the punishment. Being at a certain point, Hashem no longer sends his Navim to rebuke us. It's as if there's a red line. And the Navi is saying here, Hanachlo, we're reaching that red line. Be careful. And it's important to know that sometimes it's like that, that we get involved with certain things or certain inequities. And we, if we just let it go without turning back, sometimes it's hard to ever get back. And Hashem wants to send his Navim. One thing I just have to tell the Parish for this pasuk, though, that I want to end with is a Parish that I remember ever since I was a high school girl. And I learned this pasuk. And I want to read it from you from the Medrash Tanchuma. Medrash Tanchuma says in Parshas Shoftim, Simen Yudchet, Amar Rabbi Elazar HaKapar, Barabi, Gadol Koach HaShalom, how great is the power of peace. Shebasha'ashi Yisrael Osim Chaburachat, when Yisrael makes themselves into one group, afilu avodah zarah b'nehem, even if avodah zarah is in their midst, ein midas hadin nogat b'nehem, then judgment cannot touch them. Shenamar chavurat sabim Ephraim hanachlo. Ephraim has gathered together doing avodah zarah, but let it be. B'sha'ah shehin chalukin, when they are separate, the Jewish people, midat hadin nogat bahen, then judgment can touch them. But when we are together, it cannot. I think it's a beautiful way of ending the parak that talks so much about B'nai Yisrael separating from Hashem and separating from their leaders and their real leaders, and then the Kohanim and the Nevi'ei Sheker are influencing them, and to say that one thing that really can be in our favor, we can have to work on constantly, is the power of Achdus, because that does not allow, says the Medrash, for the Midas Hadin to touch us. Thank you for studying today, Le'ilui Nishmas, Rivka Bas Alexander Center.